Podcasting from Nashville, Tennessee, this is your New Constructs Weekly Market Update. Visit us at newconstructs.com or tweet us at New Constructs. Here's your host, investor, and market veteran, David Trainer.
Hi, this is David Trainer, and I'm going to explain to you today how to be a smarter mutual fund investor. There are a lot of myths out there about traditional mutual fund ratings, and we're going to dispel those for you and give you a leg up on your competition. First, I also want to remind you that if you want to get more information from New Constructs, go to newconstructs.com. We've got free memberships. We've got very inexpensive memberships. We even serve institutional investors. So anything you want, but all based on the best data in the world. We're the only firm with a high-quality, proprietary data gathering system. We don't take data feeds from anybody else. No one else's data is good enough for us. That's why we created our own proprietary technology around gathering data. So let's talk about myths with respect to traditional mutual fund ratings. How many of you out there knew that Morningstar gets paid by the companies that they provide ratings for? That's right. Companies have to license from Morningstar the right to advertise what the Morningstar rating is. So naturally, there's a little bit of a bias there to have more good ratings than bad ratings because you're more likely to get licensing fees from the firms that want to advertise a good rating. So therein lies a conflict of interest. And let's be honest here. Wall Street has been rife with conflict of interest for a long time. And that's precisely where the most nefarious activities enter into the capital markets. All right, let's take the biggest conflict there is in the business. And that's between the Wall Street research and Wall Street investment bankers. How many times have individual investors, the average investor, everybody but the big Wall Street insiders, how many times have they been ripped off because of that conflict of interest? Lots, to the tune of tons of money. So don't take conflicts of interest lightly when it comes to any kind of ratings. How many of you guys knew out there that companies pay big money to executives, the fund companies pay big money to executives to do nothing but deal with Morningstar? There's a big article in the Financial Times last summer that talked about how much time Bill Gross himself, the bond king himself, spent with a Morningstar analyst to ensure that his big-time PIMCO bond fund did not get downgraded and then suffer the subsequent huge losses in terms of assets under management that would happen from that fund rating, deep downgrade, right? That's a big deal. They're spending money to influence these people, right? I mean, that's like investor relations working with a Wall Street analyst, okay? Yeah, it happens all the time, but if you're supposed to really truly be an independent fund rating system, then you really shouldn't be influenced that much by what your buddy at the firm that you're covering says to you about what to do about the fund. It should be more quantitative than that. And the fact that these funds have special executives paid six-figure salaries and more to do nothing but to deal with Morningstar, you know, again, here we are getting into a little bit of a conflict of interest. The other factor with respect to a lot of these ratings that I think is most people don't realize is how much style drift there is. So the style drift issue is where a fund manager says, you know, I'm really not performing that well against my peers in this category, but if I go to this other category, my performance looks pretty good. And so they change their category, see an inflow of funds. Even if their performance is better, is not as good or worse than what it was before, they make money, investors lose money, right? So people are gaming these categories and ratings in order to maximize money for themselves. And that's a big theme I like to explain to my clients and my friends, for that matter, is you got to remember, the big Wall Street players, pretty much anybody but that potentially that advisor that you really trust, they're in it to make money for themselves first. You maybe, but for themselves for sure. If we can both make money, great. But you know what? At the end of the day, it comes down to me first. So you got to keep in mind that that fund managers will literally just change the category or the type of fund they are so they can be in a less competitive category, see more assets come in, and therefore make more money for themselves. You know, this takes this also sort of brings to bear the fact that there are huge impact of a Morningstar rating change on asset flows, inflows and outflows. And this drives behavior. This means that funds will do whatever it takes to keep the rating high because it means a huge difference to their assets under management. Right? So Morningstar has almost become sort of the tail wagging the dog in the business. And we don't think that's a good thing, right? Another thing to keep in mind is, you know, we know that their traditional ratings are almost entirely based on past price performance, right? And we all know that past price performance isn't necessarily the best indicator of future performance. We see that all the time. Nevertheless, the Morningstar ratings are still really, you know, predominating. So they created a new form of rating called the analyst rating. And the problem with the analyst rating, though, is that you see the same thing you see with Wall Street stock ratings. They're almost all positive and very, very few negative, right? Again, it's hard to get people to pay you for negative ratings. And if a big part of your revenue comes from the companies that you provide ratings to, then you need to make sure you have enough ratings out there that people want to pay you for. You know, by the way, it's illegal, I believe, it's illegal in the stock business for, and I know in the bond rating business, like for the rating agencies, they're not allowed to get paid by the companies for whom they provide ratings because that's too big of a conflict. I know that Wall Street firms aren't allowed to take payment from companies in order to change to affect the Wall Street firm's stock rating on the company. These things are highly unethical activities in the bond and stock rating worlds, if not illegal activities. But yet there, it's all over the place with the fund ratings. So how do you deal with this? How do you beat this? You use a rating system that's actually more like stock ratings. How's that for an idea? How about a rating system that leverages stock ratings, a fund rating system that leverages stock ratings? In other words, you make the rating of the fund effectively the aggregated rating of the individual stocks. That's what we do. So for example, let's say a fund holds 377 stocks, and we cover all 377 of those stocks. So we'll aggregate our models for all 377 stocks, and we'll build a fund rating based on that. So we'll tell you how the accounting earnings compare to the economic earnings. We'll do the same super high quality of earnings analysis on the fund that we do on a stock. We'll do the same thing with the valuation. We'll tell you what the price to economic book value of the mutual fund is. We'll tell you what the growth appreciation period of the mutual fund is. And today, as a special offer, we're going to allow you to have access for free if you listen to the end of this podcast, for free to the special product we put out last week that shows the Morningstar mutual fund ratings that are most different from ours, 10 of them that we found. And we've also in this report highlighted how when our ratings have been different, we've been right and they've been wrong. And we believe that's because we provide better information about understanding the profitability and valuation of fund. If you want to use our, and by the way, some of the top wealth management and hedge funds in the world use our stock ratings, right? Then you probably want to use those same ratings for mutual funds. It's better than just past price performance. It's better than a lot of the qualitative sort of overview things that people do on funds. There's tons of work around research on mutual funds, but none of it has to do with underlying cash flows. None of it has to do with valuation. We're providing that additional ingredient. I'm not saying it needs to be the only ingredient, but I'm saying it's a high quality ingredient and one that you can access very, very inexpensively from newconstructs.com. Again, you want to get free access to the special product we put out last week highlighting the myths about Morningstar research. All you got to do is follow the instructions at the bottom of this blog post. Thank you.